Rowan Bashford is calling home from Iceland. Rowan's from Christchurch. He went to Marahau High School. His keenness for snowboarding took him overseas, and he's been in Iceland for 4 years. He flew to London, bought a van, converted it, travelled around the European Alps snowboarding, spending all his money. He needed a job, and there were jobs to be found on the glaciers in Iceland. Long story short, he owns a property now with his partner. They live on a farm, and together they run a guiding company called Glacier and Volcano Expeditions. Hello, Rowan.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. We've all seen the incredible TV images of lava flowing from an erupting Mount Fagradalsfjall. Is that how you pronounce it, or something like it?
Yeah, it's kind of close, yeah. Yep.
It'll do for now. So,
yeah.
You went there. Now, you and your partner, Guðni, what's the pronunciation of your partner's name? Because it's quite a long Icelandic name.
Yeah, Guðni Dilja Helgadóttir.
Fantastic. Right. You and Guðni got close enough to this erupting volcano to feel the heat on your face. You were right beside the lava. What an experience.
Yeah, I mean, that was absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, so I've been waiting to go and experience a erupting volcano ever since I very first came to Iceland. And when this one started, I was so excited. And I said to Guðni, look, grab your stuff. We're going right now. And we dropped everything and we drove 6 hours. It was a life-changing experience. I mean, to see Earth being created right there in front of us, molten rocks coming up out of the ground and just flowing across the landscape, changing it forever, you know.
Gee, that was its first eruption in how long?
Over 900 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder about the volcanoes in New Zealand, doesn't it? Taupo and those.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is the lava still flowing?
It is. It's increased in intensity, and it's filled two valleys now. They're saying that it could be another year, possibly two.
Gee.
Who knows? Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
That driving time, we should say that, in fact, when you went there, you and Guðni, you were allowed to.
They closed the roads initially because they wanted to send in, you know, they wanted to send in the rescue team to evaluate the situation, but you know, by come the next day, they opened the roads back up again, and I think most of the people in Iceland have been to visit it.
And you didn't feel at risk?
I mean, I wouldn't say I didn't feel at risk. We were conscious of the fact that there was sulfur dioxide just coming up out of the ground and filling all of the low points, you know, so we didn't want to stand in low points because sulfur dioxide is heavier than air, so we kind of didn't want to be overcome by the gases. We weren't being reckless. I mean, we were just, you know, assessing the situation as we tend to do and making sure that it was safe, and we were able to go right up to the front of the lava, and impressive.
What an experience. And that driving time seems considerable because, have I got my bearings right? You live in the southwest, and that volcano's in the southwest, and when you look at Iceland on a map, New Zealand's about 2.5 times bigger. So are the roads a bit more difficult to drive on?
I mean, at this time of the year, so in the summertime, it's pretty similar to rural New Zealand. I mean, okay. It's kind of like State Highway 1 in a sense. It's a two-lane road for the most part that's between us and the capital and with a few towns along the way, you know. So it's a bit like driving between Christchurch and Dunedin, really. There are a lot of similarities between Iceland and New Zealand, which is quite remarkable because we couldn't really be much further away.
We're in the two places that they reckon will stay safer, safest, if there's ever nuclear catastrophe. Not that I want to dwell on that, but we are in similar kinds of positions in the world in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Quite isolated, but still actually quite connected too. But, like, you know, socially quite connected, but still very a long way away from everything. So,
now, Rowan, yeah. Guðni also has a long, we know about your association with the outdoors, but she also has a long association with the outdoors too.
Yeah. She was brought up on a farm. It's quite similar to, you know, farm kids in New Zealand. They're sort of left to their own devices. She's guided wildlife tours, like bird wildlife puffin tours, and glacier ice cave tours, iceberg kayaking tours.
And you two live on a farm in the middle of nowhere, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nestled right beneath the largest volcano in the country and across the road from the largest national park and the largest glacier in the country,
Yeah.
at the very southern tip of the country. And yeah, we live on a little farm. It's not really a working farm, but we've got 8 horses. Her ancestors and family were all sheep farmers. Her father and mother have moved back to the capital, but we live on the family estate, essentially,
Right.
that has been in the family for many generations.
How did the two of you meet?
Just for guiding, just at work.
So, the two of you lead environmentally friendly tours on to the glaciers and the mountains in the area.
Yeah.
And you take kayaking tours among the icebergs in the glacier lagoons. Gee, how cold is that water?
It's just above freezing, so it's got the glacier. The glacier is in the lagoon at one end, and it keeps the water really cold. We all wear dry suits and a lot of warm layers and wetsuit gloves, so for the most part, we stay pretty warm and toasty. And if you fall in, you don't get wet really because you're wearing a dry suit,
Okay.
and a life jacket as well. So going through the icebergs and exploring all the different volcanic glacier icebergs that have detached from the glacier. And sometimes we'll find like an iceberg that will have a cave or something interesting on it. So we'll get out of the kayaks and go for a walk around on the iceberg and go into a little ice cave so that people can experience being inside the glacier ice on a floating iceberg lagoon.
you can see those ice caves online. I'm assuming these are those wonderful blue and green caves that you lead people into.
So we also do glacier ice cave tours where we don't go on the kayaks, but we walk up the glacier and go into ice caves that lie within or beneath the glacier ice.
Right.
And yeah, they can be small enough so one person can just fit inside, or they can be so big that an entire freight train could fit inside them, So yeah, they can be really impressive, and I love it. We both love
Oh,
it. It's a lot of fun.
they're stunning to look at, actually. The Iceland glaciers are a lot more impressive size-wise. One of them's the third largest on Earth, isn't it?
I mean, the glacier that we guide on is almost 8,000 square kilometers in surface area,
Gee.
and there are places where the ice is hundreds of meters thick. There are 8 volcanoes underneath the Vatnajökull ice cap, which is the one that we guide on, and one or two of these volcanoes erupt on a frequent basis. So they've got a lot of ice that sit on top of the volcanoes, and when the volcano erupts, it causes a huge biblical sized flood to come pouring out from beneath the ice and basically smash anything that's in its path out the way. So yeah, it's a pretty crazy place, really, having these floods that frequently just come cascading down from the ice cap whenever the volcano erupts. So pretty crazy.
It is a crazy place, amazing place to. So, do the two of you lead an isolated sort of life? Would you describe it as that?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we've got quite a few friends that live out here. There's a lot of other young people that are guiding and working in the tourism industry, and it's keeping young people in jobs,
Yeah.
There's hotels out here that we've got friends that work in and stuff like that. But society wise, I mean, there's no town where we live. It's just farms and villages, basically.
The hotel remark surprised me because it's a pretty sparsely inhabited hinterland outside the big city, isn't it, Iceland? There are a lot of territory, not many people.
Yeah. It's, I guess I could compare it to, way down in sort of central Otago or maybe Southland or something like that, maybe even Stewart Island. Like it's, yeah, there's not a lot of people, apart from in and around the capital. That's kind of, I guess, a bit like Christchurch, perhaps, Dunedin, maybe more like Dunedin.
Can you see the Northern Lights on a regular basis?
When it's not so cloudy and when there's aurora activity, we do see the Northern Lights here at home, and it's always a treat.
You'd be blasé after a while. You get used to it like everything else. So,
Yeah.
Reykjavik, yeah, about the size of Hamilton or Dunedin, northernmost capital city in the world. How long would it take you to get into town, into the Big Smoke?
Yeah, about 5.5, 6 hours.
Okay. Do you go there much?
Not often, no. If we can avoid it, I mean, it's a big drive.
Yeah. I love the bright colours of the houses, and they have geothermal pools, and that huge hot pool, the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, they have geothermal pools all over the country because it allows people to soak up the sun's rays and get vitamin D from the sun into their bodies, even in the coldest months,
Right.
So. Yeah, because otherwise everybody's just, fully rugged up with as much clothing as they can wear. So it's really important for the society, and it helps the society a lot because it brings people together. A lot of people just go down to the pools just to chat to people.
So it gets the vitamin D levels up because we've had the occasional conversation about this on the radio. How do people in these northern latitudes, cope with vitamin D deficiency in winter? And this is Iceland's solution. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so they're basically taking advantage of the fact that the volcanoes that lie beneath Iceland provide so much hot water that you can they've just built pools all over the place,
Yeah.
and even on really stormy, snowy days, people just go lie around in the pools and nice and warm.
And Reykjavik is a nice place to visit, I'm told. I mean, it's charming, it's friendly, it's got great nightlife. A lot of people love Iceland, don't they? You'd probably feel that when you meet visitors.
Yeah, I mean, it's got its charm for sure, and it's quite a safe place. I mean, we don't really lock the house or the car very often. We don't need to worry about people breaking in so much. People are quite friendly. The water is really nice and pure. It comes out of the tap. It's a lot like a lot of places in New Zealand.
Used to be.
And yeah, true, true. But
Now,
I mean, I grew up in Christchurch, and we used to have really nice pure water there, so.
Rowan Bashford is calling home from Iceland. Now, you've had COVID. Was there a version of lockdown? Maybe not where you were.
I mean, we live in the middle of nowhere,
Yeah.
so the only thing that changed here was the amount of people that were driving past on the main road. The tourist numbers, they were quite a lot before the COVID, but once that all kicked off, it sort of just all went a bit dead. It's been kind of nice, actually. It's been quite relieving.
Are you surviving financially, though?
Getting by.
Okay. Iceland had been doing fairly well with COVID, but I see your Eurovision entry that a band pulled out after one of the group tested positive, and they were one of the competition favourites. What a blow! Was that big news there?
Yeah, I think so. Eurovision is really popular here. A lot of people watch it. Personally, I don't follow it myself, but yeah, it's a massive thing here, and I think people, yeah, it's like religion here almost.
Really? So that Will Ferrell movie about Eurovision in Iceland, that was a fair reflection of the passion in the country for
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it.
definitely.
Rowan, Iceland is more expensive or less expensive than New Zealand. You'd have higher taxes, I imagine.
Yeah, Iceland is the land of taxes, that's for sure. Cost of living, yeah, I think for the most part, cost of living is more expensive. I think if you were to buy a property in Reykjavik, a little bit cheaper in Christchurch than it is in Reykjavik.
Okay.
Groceries and fuel, like diesel and petrol, is slightly more expensive. Alcohol is definitely more expensive. The government tax so much out of the alcohol. So yeah, if you're going to come to Iceland, get beers or wine when you come through the duty free.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like you're really settled in there. Are you there for the duration?
Yeah, I mean, our intentions are to just build up our company so that we can make it work for us. And by making it work for us means that we work during the summertime here in Iceland, and then to avoid the dark, cold, stormy winters, we just come back to New Zealand and live back there for half the year. Perfect. So it's, half and half.
They'd probably get a bit of vitamin D out of their fish. Can I ask you about, Icelandic food? I was reading about sheep's head, which actually I once had to my sorrow. I don't know if I'd try some of the fish delicacies available. Do you eat any of this traditional cuisine?
There's some really weird traditions here. Like the day before Christmas Eve, they have a big feast where they cook up, it's called skata, but it's basically like a skate, like a stingray skate. But it's not just a stingray skate that they've pulled out of the ocean. What they do first is they bury it in the ground until it goes rotten, and then they cook it up afterwards. And it smells so bad that it's actually banned from cooking this particular dish in an apartment block in Reykjavik unless it is on the day that you're actually traditionally supposed to eat it. So when you take a bite out of this stingray fish, skata, it makes your nostrils burn. It smells that bad. But for some reason, a lot of Icelandic people like it. I think it's ridiculous. I do like the sheep, the lamb that they have here. It's a little bit different to the lamb in New Zealand. The sheep here, they eat a lot of sort of herbs and tundra and blueberries, and as well as grass as well. So it tastes slightly different.
A Michelin star restaurant in Reykjavik, so there must be a pretty decent modern food movement happening in town, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's some really nice food here. A lot of the food that we grow outside, the Icelanders grow inside. So there are large greenhouses here on commercial scale that grow fruit and vegetables under lights in the wintertime, powered by geothermal energy, like geothermal electricity to light the greenhouse, as well as geothermal heat through steam pipes that go in the soil to keep the plants warm. They really harness the natural resources that is in abundance here. So it's pretty impressive.
Do many Kiwis come and visit? Do you run into them?
Not a lot, really. No. The occasional Australian, but that's not really much to write home about. Not a lot.
And yet I imagine the locals are reasonably like us in terms of casual attitudes and a fairly laid-back attitude towards the world?
Yeah, especially in the rural communities, yeah.
Okay. So you don't really miss New Zealand. I mean, it's not such a radically different culture. You probably slotted in reasonably easily.
Well, I wouldn't say that I don't miss New Zealand. I absolutely do miss New Zealand. However, it would be fair to say that I have slotted in quite easily because of the similarities in the culture and the climate and the landscape. I miss, the Kiwi sort of fishing and hunting lifestyle, and I do miss the Kiwi banter and conversation and culture and quirky kind of humor and, all the weird little things that you kind of don't really notice so much when you're in New Zealand. But when you leave, you kind of just miss, I suppose. I miss all those sorts of weird things. So, yeah, we're hoping to come back in September.
Oh, good. Has Guthnie been out here before?
No, she hasn't. No.
Oh, right.
She's looking forward to coming as well.
Ryan Bashford is calling home from Iceland. And no shortage of English speakers, because the Icelandic language seems, as a lot of languages do, fairly ferocious in terms of difficulty from the outside. But everybody speaks English as well?
Yeah, everybody speaks English. I mean, even the people that are middle age plus, so it's pretty impressive actually. Their language is just ridiculous. I mean, I'm doing my best to learn it. I'm trying my best, but it's almost like if I was to describe the Icelandic language, it's almost as though a bunch of people all sat down and they decided amongst themselves to create a language that is as difficult as humanly possible for anyone else to ever try and learn. It's insane.
That's from someone who lives in the country and feels very affectionately towards it.
They understand how hard it is to learn their language, I think. They know.
Lovely to talk to you and to hear about your interesting life. So, how many hours of sunshine a day have you got at the moment with the seasons changing for you?
It still stays light. So, we've got sunlight for most of the day, but we've got visible light. Like you can go outside at 12 o'clock, 1 a.m. You can just walk around and just do whatever. It's a bit like how it would look in New Zealand 10 minutes after sunset, basically, at 1 a.m.
Wow, okay. And just a final question, when you look out your window where you are, what do you see? What's your view?
I see the largest volcano in Iceland, which has a glacier draped over the top of it. And then if I turn my head a little bit further toward the south, I see almost 180 degrees of ocean in the distance,
Wow.
which is about, I guess, 8 kilometers away.
Gee.
But it's very, very vast. I can see a very long way, and there's a really big sky here.
I bet there's a big sky. You've given us an idea of the vastness. What's the temperature outside at the moment? Would you have any idea?
I think it will be about 6 degrees right
Oh,
now.
that's all right.
Today it got up to, today it got up to, I think, about 10 here.
I read that in Reykjavik, sometimes they even get up to the mid-20s, don't they, in terms of temperature? Not on, yeah.
Occasionally, when there's not too much wind, in July, August, it goes right into the 20s, which is, everybody stops what they're doing and just goes straight to the beach.
Hey, lovely to talk to you. What an interesting life you're carving out for yourself. And all your mates will be and family will be glad to see you come home, I'm sure. But thank you for talking about your life in Iceland with us.
No worries, you're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Rowan Bashford.